Let's bring in Alvin Williams, 76ers pro personnel scout, Sportsnet NBA analyst. And Alvin, thanks so much for joining us. You know, again, look, you've played the game. You know that there are games, you know, where media and the fans like to build more out of it than it really is. I'm sure there are games where players, you know, deep down they view the one-on-one matchup as being a little more significant than another one-on-one matchup. But I don't know. And unless a whole bunch of people were lying last night, I didn't see a lot of significance in that loss, other than, you know, the Raptors lost by what they lost by 3 points, and LeBron James had one of the best games, one of the most perfect games, one of the most flawless games he's had as a pro.
Yeah, definitely. And it's one, as you mentioned, it's one game. And normally when you're a veteran team on both sides, the Raptors have been here before, they're looking for the playoffs. Cleveland's just looking to get out of this regular season and get to the postseason. So a lot of times when you come into a closure of the season, these games aren't taken that seriously. Now, granted, these are two great teams and they're trying to, you know, strive for greatness and things like that. So it's definitely going to be the competitive nature there. It's going to be some hype there. But when you really look at it, it's just once again, it's one game. Now, you can build a lot of stories out of it to go forward with it because these teams may match up in the playoffs. But at the end of the day, it's still one game. It's still Cleveland and LeBron, and it's still the Raptors trying to get out of that, you know, the second and third round in the playoffs.
You know, as I said, the one concern I have, and it kind of surprises me a bit, because when we saw Serge Ibaka last year, you know, he joined the team. Kyle was hurt. I kind of bought into the argument, Alvin, that, you know, these guys never really had enough time to gel, and you weren't really going to get a read on what Serge Ibaka can be for the Raptors until you see him for a full season. And I'm not hanging this all on Serge Ibaka by any stretch of the imagination. But Oklahoma City, Cleveland, he was a no-show. And those are the games I need him in, right? I need him to be a physical presence in those games. I don't need him, you know, even if the game against Oklahoma City, I think he was 2-for-9 from 3 points. That's not good, but I still need you to be a physical presence. And all I saw last night, Alvin, I mean, I saw a guy last night who seemed to be a step behind. I saw a guy who seemed to be getting in the way. You know, it's nice that LeBron, you know, pointed and said that, hey, you know, Serge always attacks the rim. He's going for the block. But, man, I need to see more from Serge. I really do. Not to hang it all on him, but he's got to be better for me in big games.
Yeah, of course. I mean, he's one of your focal points, especially when you're trying to go to the next level. And what Serge Ibaka has always been known to be is that physical, that defensive presence, someone that can defend the basket. Because unfortunately, last night he was matched up with someone like Kevin Love, who takes him out of his element. Mm-hmm. Now, if his offense isn't working, if his shot is not going in, now it's just a negative all the way around because he can't defend the paint or he can't be that presence that people expect him or the Raptors need him to be. So it was just one of those. The game is so different now. Jeff is like, you know, if you're big, either out in that perimeter making shots from the offensive end. And if you're a big, you got on the defensive end, you got to be able to guard another guard, a mismatch, or defend the paint. And he's just like a no man's land when it comes to playing with the Cleveland Cavaliers and another team that has a stretch four that's effective on the offensive end. But I agree with you. In order for the Raptors to take it to that next level on a consistent basis, he's going to have to be that peg that's going to have to be there for the Raptors offensively and defensively.
Yeah, and, you know, look, Kevin Love returning to the Cavaliers, it's obviously going to make a difference. But, you know, Alvin, and I'm sure you guys, I'm sure the 76ers are probably also thinking about this as well. I'm going to be intrigued to see how a healthy Kevin Love fits in with some of those new pieces that Cleveland got at the trade deadline. Because, you know, they're not going to win the East, but they are much more of a handful since they made those trades at the deadline, aren't they? There's a different look to that team. There's a different energy to them. They don't have a second unit that's as good as the Raptors' second unit, I don't think, but you can kind of see the germ of something really good developing there, can't you?
Yeah, I mean, you see the potential because they have the youth, they have the energy, and right at the time when the trade was made, they needed something desperately to bring life back to that team.
Right.
And these newer guys, Rodney Hood and Jordan Clarkson and, you know, Larry Nance Jr., like these guys, they bring a level of athleticism, they bring a level of outside shooting, and like you mentioned, youth and energy. But once again, these guys are hurt. It's hard for those guys. They haven't been on the same plane for a while now. So, you know, I'm still looking at Cleveland as a team that, you know, is still up in the air for me. Of course, you have LeBron James. And if LeBron James can get everyone on the same page, and, you know, that's a dangerous team in itself, if you saw yesterday. But once again, they gave 79 points in the first half on the defensive end. And that's just something that can't be done. And I saw a lot of lapses with LeBron James as well as other players, and that frightens me. It's late in the season, and you're still having defensive issues. But the one positive, you still have LeBron James. So the team is going to be very dangerous. But also, I can see this team being a disappointment also.
Yeah, it's it's funny. I wish I was on social media last night, and I've got to stop doing that. But and somebody – and I can't remember which writer it was, but it was one of the national NBA writers said, you know, his takeaway after the game was the East is tougher because the Raptors just put 129 points up in the defending champions. You know, his point was, hey, the East is tough because, yeah, the East is tough. I mean, yeah, Cleveland may be coming back, but my God, the Raptors just hung 129 points on. And we know Cleveland's not a great defensive team, but what, 76 points, 79 points in the first half and 129? You're going to win most games that night.
Right, definitely. And you look at it, and that's why I talk about the regular season, because in the postseason, you have to concentrate. You have to concentrate more. And the more upsetting thing with me for the Raptors in the second half is you gave up 60-some points in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times when you go to halftime, you make those adjustments.
Right.
The team shouldn't outscore you or have that many points in the second half. When you go to halftime and you make the adjustments, and then you figure out what the game plan and what the strategy should be moving forward. So that was one thing coming out in the second half, not having that focus and not playing and matching the intensity and matching what Cleveland was to bring, you know, in the second half. So if anything, it's just one of those things. But once again, the NBA is so different. It's just a scoring league. Everyone has the ability to shoot. Everyone has the freedom to shoot. And now they're knocking out three-pointers at a high clip. And it's a faster-paced game. So it's still hard for me to read and take into 129 points in a game, and you still take a loss.
I want to shift focus a little bit to the 76ers because you're lucky. You get to see these guys a lot. We get to watch them on TV. I think they're fun right now. I don't even want to think about this team a year down the road or 2 years down the road because they are just going to be absolutely freakishly good. But, Alvin, what's the mindset? What's the feeling around that organization right now with this team? Because I know I was watching NBA TV a couple of days ago. I think it was Sam Mitchell was on, and they were talking about teams you wouldn't want to face in the first round. You know, and he said, hey, man, I want no part of Philadelphia in the first round. I want nothing to do with them. I want someone else to beat them up. I'll take them in the second round, but I want someone else to beat them up in the first round before I face them. What's the feeling around that team right now?
I mean, they believe. That's the one thing. We're so young, and this experience that we're going through now is so different than what it's been in the past, you know, as far as building and getting ourselves into this position. But we're so young and playing with so much energy, and everyone believes. The coaching staff is doing a great job of keeping everybody in tune and keeping everybody engaged, from whether it's shoot-arounds, walk-throughs, practice, and game time. And this team plays all out. Aside of, we have great talent. We have someone, Ben Simmons, that controls the game at a young age. He manages the game very well. Then you have Joel Embiid, who's just a freakish athlete and so talented. And then all the pieces around, with J.J. Redick able to knock out the jump shot. You have Robert Covington that can make jump shots, and Dario Saric that can spread the floor. So everything is just coming together from a technical standpoint. But more so, I think, once again, the team believes, and we're so young. Once again, we don't even understand and don't even care the pressure and everything that's going to come along with the playoffs. So it's a free-flowing team that has a lot of ability that possibly could upset some teams.
Now, I would imagine you and Kyle, you're probably going to have a little split attention tomorrow, aren't you? Villanova, you've got West Virginia in the Sweet 16 tomorrow night.
Yeah,
you'll be
definitely.
Keeping an eye on them, I bet.
What'd you say?
I said you'll be keeping an eye on them, I bet.
Oh, for sure. I have to. I've been during this time. This is the best time of the year for me, man, because you know you get to see these young kids playing at a high emotion, and you know it's so many levels of intensity. So, but the Wildcats, they're playing well. They're playing well. They make it when they make shots. They're an elite team. Mm-hmm. You know, defensively, they get at it. They can switch multiple positions. They play hard. They get out. They get on the floor. They scrappy. But once again, it still boils down to the Wildcats making shots. And that's the one thing that frightens me, because in this tournament, if you go on a cold streak for 1 minute at the wrong time of the game, you can go home packing. So hopefully these shots continue going in, and then the bracket keeps shaping up for us, because there was some upsets that I was a little worried about for the Raptors, for the Wildcats to face. But things are shaping up for us, hopefully.